welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business, design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlan Iso, and today we're joined by three brand new additions to the Label Sessions expert roster, as well as Nick Sherrard from the Label Sessions team. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
So hello and welcome to Richard Elwood, who is the strategist who makes brands mean something. Richard doesn't just craft stories, he makes them land. Whether launching in 23 markets or driving retail footfall with multi-sensory campaigns, he connects brand business impact. Welcome, Richard.
Hi there. Thank you very much for having me today.
Awesome. A big welcome to Sachin Shah, the strategic CTO who builds tech that doesn't break the business. Sachin scales from zero with clarity, aligning product, platform, and people at speed. He's the rare CTO who knows when to move fast and when to build forever. Welcome, Sachin.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And then a big welcome to Alison Kilduff, the culture coach who doesn't blink when it gets hard. Alison brings clarity and calm to the messiest corners of organizational life, cutting through conflict, stagnation, and fog to help teams actually change. Welcome, Alison.
Thank you, Fazlan. Lovely introduction.
Now, we have remote teams, hybrid teams, and in-office teams. What are the rituals that make collaboration work now? Do the old rituals serve us well, or do we need new rituals for a new world of work? I think, Alison, this is a great one for you to kick us off with.
Well, I'm sure Sachin and Richard have got. So this is endlessly fascinating to me, because I don't know about the rest of you, what I'm seeing is the habit of we want to get everybody back to collaborate. I mean, literally, I've spoken to so many leaders who are like, we've inserted a 3-day a week back in the office because we need people to collaborate like that. But I think we are addicted to that way of working. And I think it's just about organizations are really struggling to create new habits around this. And I think I'm going to say there are lots of people in lots of organizations in the middle whose only purpose is to kind of oversee somebody else. We still have that in a lot of our organizations. That's still the reality. And I think AI and all of the other things that we're discussing is really forcing the issue, but almost more quickly than organizations are ready. So I think we absolutely need new rituals. I think some of that is about how do you create community in virtual and hybrid organizations. And I see organizations trying to do far too many things, you know, with the kind of well-being agenda. So you've got kind of, you know, Pilates with Peter on a Monday, Bake with Heather on a Thursday. And it's just overwhelming to people. I think we need to have some well-considered, meaningful, small number of things that are actually meaningful that people do together. To Sachin's point about talent, I think this is something that is really challenging in particularly virtual, global, widespread organizations, is how do younger folk have those bump into moments with senior leaders? I think that needs a lot more thought. Some organizations I've been working with are doing reciprocal mentoring. So although that isn't a new concept in and of itself, the reciprocity, I think, is quite new. So it's not like the senior person has all the information, but they come together with a more junior person to have a reciprocal conversation about what organizational life is like. And I think that's also a more effective way to also deal with the kind of representation and different people's experiences and exposure to senior leaders who perhaps are very comfortable. I think if there's one thing that I'd want to see, and then I'll let my colleagues talk as well, is we're talking about digital, we're talking about AI, but what I see in organizations is an absolute digital overload, and we need to have much more radical, you know, email, digital communication, virtual communication was supposed to make things more time efficient. I see the absolute reverse. A very famous car company a very long time ago brought in a policy whereby if somebody was on annual leave, they had a really clear out of office that orientated the customer or the client to what they needed to do to resolve. And that email was just deleted from the employee's cash. I think we need to declutter all of the gunk that is, you know, kind of weighing people down, to kind of work out, you know, use these tools to actually work out where humans add real value and stop, you know, kind of having people responding to everything that they're CC'd to at 4 o'clock in the morning. There are just a few of mine. I'm very passionate about this. I think we're really behind the curve. You know, COVID happened. We realized we could work remotely, but all of the rituals and mechanisms about what makes that work in a new environment are still very nascent, I think.
I'd completely agree with you, Alison, on all counts. I think where I've seen things work really, really well in hugely matrixed organizations, the risk is that you can just remain within your department or your team. And that's crazy to me, because actually, isn't there a great opportunity to step back and say, right, what's that strategic challenge that we're trying to address? And then to say, well, who are the right people with the right capabilities, skill set? And when I was at Disney, there was a lot of talk about who are the best available athletes, which was quite a nice term. And that meant that actually you then said, right, well, we need these half a dozen or a dozen people from all of this, these different teams, different departments. You don't normally work together, but you've been selected because you've got, you know, particular skill sets and capabilities. We now want you to work together on this particular element. And those task forces, as they were called at Disney, worked really, really well. And actually, there'd be, you know, particular milestones in that journey. But that then embedded a sense of collaboration into the culture at Disney. And actually, because it was high energy and these task forces worked to quite a pace, it was great, because it was fantastic at driving a lot of innovation. So I completely agree. And then, yeah, time to scrap email. For God's sake, it just doesn't work. You know, we can't have email, Teams, WhatsApp, you know, everything else. It's just, you're going to spend all of your time reading and not thinking or talking or discussing or doing. So,
yeah, I agree with that. I think, I mean, from my perspective, I think it's clear that the new ways of working or new approaches are needed, especially in the remote and distributed world. But I kind of think that it still goes back to the foundational elements of trust and empathy towards culture and diversity nuances that exist. It's often, more recently, from the startup perspective, it's often a remote distributed team. And in my last startup, one of my reportee hadn't kind of managing a team of 8 people remotely. And for the 2 years, because of various reasons, economic reasons, they hadn't met the team face to face. And that kind of, it was really difficult to build that trust and culture. So remote is good, but I think it's from the startup and scale up point of view, the hybrid environment is much more effective, because you don't build that human connection unless you are working or spending time in person. And then while you're working remotely, helps build that trust that is needed to let people work. And then I probably will be controversial to what Richard and Alison said, but I think the async communication is important part from my perspective, because then people can pick up clear messages. There's a clear log of async communication, and they can pick up at their pace. But I agree to the idea of having less kind of notification and digital detox from overall point of view.
It's interesting, since we've, you know, lots of conversations have happened through the podcast, but through Label Sessions in general over the last year or so, everyone knows that messaging is really broken, but nobody really knows how to stop it. Like, we all know email's terrible. Everyone knows it intuitively. It's never controversial to introduce into a conversation, but I don't really see many companies that are turning around and going, you know what, this email thing is like...
there's more awareness, and I've seen more of that working in startups. Because there is there's that agility, and there's a smaller team, and there's a openness to different approach. So few of the startups I have worked is largely asynchronous communication and less on emails. But it could be quite challenging in a large corporate environment to kind of move away from that.
Well, I think just because so much of the work in big companies is messaging, if you see what I mean. It's someone messaging a message about a different thing, a stress, wasn't
it? It is, Nate. And I think, so I agree with Sasha. I think smaller, like the stuff, I mean, in a way, quite a lot of our new ways of working were kind of ushered in by the creative IT. Like they were just like, well, I don't need to wear a suit and we don't all need to be in the office and we can. And it was like, oh, hold on. And they're really successful. I think in larger organizations, I mean, I work with senior executives who get the message subliminally, I always have to be on. Now, if you've got senior people in an organization acting in that way, then what are they going to do? They're going to just, you know, kind of model, even if they've got a rider at the bottom of their email going, it suits me to send an email to you at 4 a.m. but I don't expect you to. But if that is somebody's boss. So I think there is some really perverse behavior about what power means and what being in leadership means in some of these, some of our older organizations, I'm going to say, it's got quite mixed up. And so it's not actually rational, it's completely irrational, but we are social beasts and we kind of pick up the signals, and some of those signals are entirely subliminal and they're led by very senior people, and some people who really perhaps might need to speak to a therapist or a coach about their behavior, but they do it via. So I think it's a mixed. People communicate for a whole range of reasons, but I think people are obsessed about their diary being crammed and everybody seeing their diary being crammed and being seen to, you know, be over everything and CCing everybody.
It's a problem, isn't it? Because we've all been in about a million meetings, let's say, in the last couple of years. And my observation is very often things just migrate in most organisations to a hierarchical perspective where actually it does tend to be the more senior people in a room, you hear their voice. And that's a massive problem because that means it's not inclusive and you're not going to hear diverse thoughts unless you actually then say, oh, hey, what did you think? But that's too often an afterthought. So I think really fundamentally changing the way that we have meetings and changing the focus of it is really important.
It's also this unpacking by how work works. And it's a really fascinating conversation I was in recently. I went to an event in the whiskey industry and had some sort of, they were there as investors, but there was this guy who, as an older guy, who had been working in one of the whiskey brands that was on stage sometime in the past. And there was a fascinating conversation at the end because he was challenging the guy who had been speaking because he was talking around growing the brand internationally. And he'd been talking in it about therefore tracking all the different metrics and how he was overseeing the team as they were growing in all these different markets. And the challenge from the guy who'd worked in the industry years before was, why do you even care? The way we used to do this was we would appoint a team to go and launch the brand in that market. We'd choose them and then we'd send them off and they'd come back 6 months later and tell us whether it was good or bad. And then our choice would be, are you still the team to do this or are you not? So why do you need to know about the detail? And what my modern leader was saying was, we're much more supportive than that now. We're much more empathetic. We're much more engaged with them. But I could see how you could almost tell exactly the same story all the way around. But now, if you went to a modern team, hey, our new structure is, you've got this job. Here's your resources. Come back in 6 months. I think we'd feel like that was a very radical, empowering model, whereas it was there before. But somehow we've got to a place where we somehow feel that actually messaging every week and a kind of constant cycle of communication is more supportive, which it maybe is in some ways, but I just think we need to rethink it somehow as to we've got something quite wrong in that mix.